gentlemen, jump to your feet. I give you the illustrious governor of the state of South Carolina. Put your hands together for Governor Henry McMaster.
You ain't known.
If you please remain standing. Take off your hats if you've got them. If the Louisville High School JROTC will please come forward, they will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. Pastor Neely Gaston, if you please come forward and open us up in a word of prayer. And many of us asked that you pray for my silence. Let's give a round of applause to Pastor Neely Gaston for you and Junior ARP Church.
It's good to be here, but Kerwood always loves to tell everybody he knows everybody's mom and daddy and granddaddy. Well, I knew his mom and daddy. I used to buy candy from his mama at the country store when we'd deliver cotton up there to be ginned at Mr. Jack's gin house. You can tell him what I said later. But my mother and dad were also classmates of Kerwood. And I think my granddaddy taught Kerwood agriculture during World War II. So our family's been very tied to the chapels all through the years, and we're just thankful for, Governor, thank you for this award today. Let us go to our Father in prayer. Our Father and our God, as we gather here today to honor a man who has lived his life in service, Kerwood Chapel, we thank you for all that he has done for this community and York County and the entire state of South Carolina. We thank you for the family that is gathered here today, both through blood relation and through friendship. We thank you for our governor and for our elected representatives who are here to honor Kerwood. We give thanks for this community that has not only impacted Kerwood's life, but so many of us that are here today. It is from this ground, even all the way back to the American Revolution, that our forefathers fought for liberty. And even in this very spot, just miles from here, are American patriots buried who have served in this for our country and brought this great country into its existence. Today we pray your blessings not only upon all of us, but upon our nation. We pray for the community in Georgia who has experienced tragedy today and so many other places. We pray for all those in the armed forces and all our first responders. But again, thank you for this good day that we can come here to honor one who has served his life fully, not only to you, but to his fellow man. We thank you again for Kerwood and for his family, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Today we gather on the front porch. Those of us in the South for hundreds of years have gathered on the front porch. Hundreds of years ago, at the end of a long day work, you'd gather together on the front porch. Neighbors would meet one another. We'd watch our children grow up from the front porch. We'd talk about politics on the front porch. We'd pass down history from one generation to the next on the front porch. And so today it's not more fitting that we pick the front porch restaurant for two reasons. One, it's the only place that we could get Kerwood to come today. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Second of all, it is significant to us that this is the gathering space that we have passed on history. Many of you know I am the only teacher in the legislature, and I taught history. And I taught Lewis and Clark, and I taught the boll weevil and the cotton gin, and I taught Franklin Pierce. And those are important. Billy Powell and others in this room, Dr. Knox, know that history is critical to folks knowing about their future by learning from their past. But the reason I'm excited about today is it's far more powerful to tell the story of Kerwood Chapel to the kids of Chester and York County than it is Franklin Pierce or Lewis and Clark. Because the kids need to know the story of perseverance. They need to know the story of a young man born in our community, going to our local public schools, Lewisville High School, a proud graduate of Lewisville High School. And that he was able to, at the age of 12, set a goal for himself and not let anything, to include the Supreme Court, keep him from becoming not just a veterinarian, but the best veterinarian in the history of the state of South Carolina. And go on and become a leader, not just in Chester County, but in York County. Because of where he lived, he claimed both of us at any time, back and forth, to make sure that he has been a leader. The kids today, Mildred Pierce, Franklin Pierce, Lewis and Clark are wonderful and well. But the kids need to know the powerful story of Kerwood Chapel. And to know that the same God that rests inside of Kerwood is the same God in each one of our young children. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And the same possibilities that God had for Kerwood, God has for every one of our children here in Chester County and in York County. And if they have that same perseverance, if they have that same belief in their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as Kerwood does, that the amazing things can happen to them as well. And so as a history teacher, Kerwood, I want to thank you. This is one of the most sacred things that I get to do as senator. And you gave me an excuse to get my favorite governor in the history of the state of South Carolina to come to Chester to be a part of this. But before we do this, we do want to recognize some folks that are here today. We were battling in terms of, do we have an open crowd of thousands, or do we have a group that Kerwood can get a chance to spend some time with each one of you. So I want to thank current York County Council members, Christy Cox and Tommy Atkins. Christy is here. If you please stand away. Where is Tommy? Tommy's in the back. Somebody give a round of applause for at least Tommy, if you're not going to applause for Christy. Former York County Council members here. Dr. Britt Blackwell is here. Where's Britt? Britt, if you'd wave at us. David Biberman is here. David, please wave. And, of course, Chad Williams. And am I missing anyone else? And Buddy Moats. Oh, Buddy, please forgive me. Buddy, thank you for that. I appreciate it as well. We also have, representing the Chester County School District, Keena Funderburk is here with us today as well, and retired principal of our schools, Dr. Jim Knox. We've got Congressman Ralph Norman with us. Congressman, if you please stand. My tag team partner in the House, Representative Randy Ligon. Where's Randy? Right behind me. There you go.
Always right behind
you. Always right behind you. And Lord, we've got somebody that's bringing us back to the day. Lord, please put your hands together for our former colleagues, former Senator Wes Hayes, that's here with us as well. Wes, please stand. They were scared we'd get a little bit out of control, or at least me running my mouth too much, and so we didn't have one sheriff. We had two. We've got Sheriff Max Dorsey here for Chester County Sheriff's Office. Where's Sheriff Dorsey? And bringing back out of retirement of the House and of the Sheriff's Department and anything else he can get his hands in, please put your hands together for our Sheriff, Brian. We've got our daughter Ann Chapel Helms is here, which we aren't evidently going to. There we go. Son James Chapel is here. And we've got other members of the family we'll be talking about later. If I've left you out, please charge it to my head and not my heart. We want to thank each and every one of you here today to celebrate. This is something very significant, and I'd love to tell you how significant it is. But I got a governor who's mean to me and has told me if I don't shut up and let him talk, he's going to take it out on me. I do have the pleasure of introducing the governor. I will tell you, I have never met anyone in the state of South Carolina that loves this state more than Governor Henry McMaster. No one in the history of the state has a passion, not just for who we are, but who we were and who we can be. And he connects that in every single thing he does. When businesses come to locate in South Carolina, they're probably sick of hearing the history because they're going to hear the history of the settlement of the colonies back in 1776. Governor Henry McMaster has been someone who has been a strong believer in bringing people together to celebrate the natural resources and the rich history that we have. And he's taken seriously the power of ordering the order of the Palmetto and making sure that we keep the richness of our past as we go into the unbelievable, limitless possibilities of our future. And so without any further ado, let me introduce to you first, the finest first lady this side of the Mississippi River. Please put your hands together for our first lady, Miss Peggy McMaster. And now, because he's given me the eye that he loves to give, please, if you would, one more time, stand to your feet and welcome to Chester and York counties the governor of the great state of South Carolina, Governor Henry McMaster.
LBC, please. You know Mike Fanning ain't normal. Y'all know that. And Pastor Gadsden, I thought there just could be one preacher here today, but there's another one. Peggy and I are delighted to be here for this Order of the Palmetto. I have a few things I want to say. I know we're going to have some other people talking, but Kerwood is remarkable. And first, a little story about common sense. Common sense always wins. Common sense is why we won during the pandemic. We didn't shut down like everybody else did, because, you know, if science will tell you that a tomato is a fruit, but common sense says you don't put tomatoes in a fruit salad. That's the way it works. But common sense is the story of the city slicker who came down to a little country town, and he'd never been here before, driving his big car. Where's the sheriff? Where are my two sheriffs? There they are. He's driving a big old car as a New Year's Eve party, going out to a cabin in the country. Didn't know where he was, wasn't sure where he had gotten there, raining, couldn't see. Didn't see the stop sign, ran right through it, bam, had a wreck. Jumped out, and there's a farmer climbing out of his pickup truck. City slicker says, you're not going to sue, are you? You're not going to sue me, are you? I said, no, I don't sue anybody. He says, well, this wasn't my fault. He said, well, I'm not saying it is. He says, well, okay, well, if you're not going to sue, we're not hurt. I think we ought to take a drink to our good health. I got a bottle of liquor in the trunk, and we ain't going to get to the party tonight, the New Year's Eve party. I'm not so. Why don't we take us a drink and celebrate our good health? Farmer said, okay. So the city slicker said, that's good. Your turn. He says, I believe I'll wait till after the police get here. That's common sense. In a suit right there.
Yes,
that's Kerwood Chapel.
Amen.
Just a few things. First time I laid eyes on Kerwood, I was scared to death. I think it was my 1990 campaign for lieutenant governor, I think. And we were trying to get from one place to another, and somebody said, well, there's this guy up in Rock Hill. He got an airplane. He can take you. So there I was in this airplane. And in the back seat was y'all reading it's now the Post and Courier, wasn't the state newspaper, the editorial writer and columnist Cindy Scoppy. Y'all read her?
Yeah.
That was Cindy Scoppy sitting in the back seat. And I think Trey Walker was with me as well. Anyway, we were going from someplace to someplace. And man, we must have hit every, it wasn't high up, but we must have hit every, whatever kind of bump there is in the sky. We hit every one. We were bouncing from left to right. Everybody, I was looking to be sure, had my seatbelt on tight. Looked in the back, and Cindy Scoppy's face was the color of that blue dress right there. She was sick as a dog. Finally, Kerwood handed her a bag, and there it went. But we made it down. It was a very memorable trip. And we all still living and doing well. Let me tell you a few things. Some people might say that Kerwood is a very unusual man, and that just never seen anybody quite like him. Well, that might be right to some people, but my view is that Kerwood is the quintessential South Carolinian, and I'll tell you why. They say that we Southerners, particularly South Carolinians, are just a bag full of contradictions. And if you think about it, it's true. Think about you. Mm-hmm. Kerwood is smart as he can be, but he's plain spoken. Some people might not recognize that high intelligence. He's strong as a bull, but gentle as a lamb. Mm-hmm. He's slow to anger, but don't get him mad. He's loyal to his friends, he's devoted to his country, and there's no man in his mind, no man is his superior, but neither is any man his inferior. He has respect for everybody. That, my friends, is your quintessential South Carolinian and your true American patriot.
Amen.
I won't go through all this because I think you know it, but it is worth repeating. How he started out young on the farm. His daddy, I think your daddy told you all you need to know about the Bible is the Ten Commandments, those ten, without a whole lot of elaboration. But Kerwood has lived that. He grew up on a farm, as you know, a large farm. By the way, Peggy's daddy grew up on a farm. He was one of how many, Peg?
14.
He was the youngest of 14. Roebuck.
Downtown Roebuck.
Grew up on the farm, loved farm animals. Anybody who doesn't love farm animals, anybody who doesn't love animals is deficient. My daddy said, don't ever trust a man who doesn't love a dog. And ain't that the truth?
Yes.
In fact, Peggy and I, this is now our fifth English bulldog. He was looking at us, wanting to come with us when we left, and he'll be at the door when we get back, and he'll be in the bed with us when we get in tonight. But let me go on. I figured it out, Kerwood, you were 11 years old when World War II broke out, so that's too young to go. A lot of the veterinarians had to go, of course, and so a lot of men quit what they were doing and volunteered, but he was too young, so that opened the door for his veterinarian work. And he never was is licensed by the state, I think. He's the only licensed but no degree in the whole state.
Yes.
And probably, as Mike said, is not a better veterinarian in the state.
Amen.
And he's one of the very few. I remember this from back then. He'd go see a sick farm animal as quick as anything. And he practiced for all those years. He started a hospital, and now he's got five or six branches. He was always on call, and then went into politics, county council. He was the essence of Ronald Reagan's beliefs, and he said so in very clear terms that everybody could understand.
Yeah.
Stayed there for 22 years. Here were some of the rules. Never use county money for hotel rooms or meals without paying it back.
Amen.
Never accept campaign donations. Instead, he financed campaign himself.
Amen.
Taking initiative to protect York County from pollution and contamination. Mm-hmm. And also, I remember in 1996, delegate to the Republican National Convention in San Diego. I was there, and everybody in the South Carolina delegation knew that Kerwood was there. So I'll tell you, it's really rare to see a man like this. But I expect in a lot of us who are trying to do the best we can, if you could open us up, you'd find these things about Kerwood in there somewhere. Because that is, as I say, that is the essence of a man, particularly a Southern man, particularly a South Carolinian. And our history, Mike mentioned a history of the Revolutionary War. It was won here. That's what they're saying now.
Amen.
Kings Mountain in Cowpens. Mm-hmm. It was Cornwallis who said after the worst defeat of the Patriots in the war, that was in Camden, about 2,000 young men, some as young as 14, dying there, greatly overwhelmed by the British. But Cornwallis finally said, these Southerners won't quit. These men in South Carolina will not quit. We can't beat them. And that was when the historian said, that's when the war was over.
Amen.
They finished it up. It was declared over up north. But I've been reading about in 1782 when 130 British warships took 10,000 British troops out of Charleston Harbor. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
That is because these people, where we came from, according to Walter Edgar, the historian, we're 8 European countries, 25 West African cultures. That's what the slaves that were brought over by the British. That now make up 4 countries, and also over 21 or 22 Native American or Indian nations. And there now, those names are on the rivers all over South Carolina. So those people came in at different times. In 1670, the first permanent settlement, after non-permanent settlements by the Spanish back in the 1500s, and then the French, and then everybody else started coming in. But you get all those people and then put them through. We've been in every war. Everyone. There's blood all over South Carolina. There are also bones all over South Carolina going back 50,000 years. So that means people have been coming to South Carolina for a long time. We've got bones and artifacts on the Savannah River outside going back 50,000 years. Another site, the Topper site, goes back 10,000 years. But you put out those people from those diverse things, those diverse lives. There weren't many rich people coming over. Most of them were trying to lift everything they had to come here, like the French Huguenots. They were run out of France. Anyway, all these people and going through all of that they went through, that builds people. And that builds men that are reflected in what Kerwood Chapel has done. And that is what, when I've talked to business leaders from around the country, around the world, that come here, they always comment when they decide to do business here. So what was the main reason? And usually there's a litany. Well, there's a good tax structure. You got good representatives in Congress. We can talk to you. Have a friendly legislature. They understand business. I tell them South Carolina's business is business. Without that, nothing will happen. They see this as our state is a model of conservation, preservation, and commerce. You got to have all three of those to make it work. But they always say it's something about the people of South Carolina, something different. And they don't know quite how to express it, but I heard twice it was expressed this way. Mark Clark, great general in World War II, later a four-star general, later president of the Citadel, said there's more patriotism in South Carolina per square inch than any place in the world.
Amen.
Also, the chairman of BMW way back in 1992, when we were competing for BMW, which is now their biggest, most profitable plant in the whole world. You can get you one right now. They make one every minute and 6 seconds, a brand new, rolled off that line. In 1992, I read about the CEO, was meeting with Governor Campbell, and they had a bunch of aides with them up at the State House, couldn't come to agreement on anything. So those two men and two of their assistants went to the pool house at the mansion. It's still there. You can come one day if you want to. Bruce's been there. And they got to talking in just a few minutes. The chairman said he scribbled out a couple of sentences on a cocktail napkin and shook hands. And he said that was the deal. We made the deal right there with that handshake. Fast forward 25 years, which is their 25th anniversary up in Greenville. I was sitting back where you're sitting. And the chairman was then speaking again about the 25th anniversary. And he said at the closing remarks, he says, South Carolina is a handshake state. When somebody from South Carolina gives you your hand and their word, he said, I'd rather have that than a signed contract. So you see, that's who we are. And that's something to be proud of. And also, when you go to pay your bill someplace, the lady at the cash register will call you honey, sweetie, darling, dear, all them things. You put all that together, and where is it reflected? All in one place, without any cover-up, and that man right there. Kerwood Chapel. So we thank you, and let me make the presentation. Okay. There it is. Kerwood, I'm going to read it. It says, State of South Carolina, in grateful recognition of contributions and friendship to the State of South Carolina and her people, I do hereby confer upon Kerwood Chapel the Order of the Palmetto with all the rights and privileges pertaining thereto. Signed by me, Henry Dorgan McMaster, your proud, happy governor, on behalf of 5.3 million proud, happy South Carolinians. Kerwood Chapel. Yeah.
And now we're going to hear from the man of the hour.
Is it true, Governor, that the latest recipient of the Order of the Palmetto in the state of South Carolina, ladies and gentlemen, please stand to your feet for the man of the hour, Kerwood Chapel.
Thank you all this much. I never felt so out of place in my life to be having a good time. You folks have been unexpected and beyond the call of your duty, but a person, my dad always taught, you are never what you think you are. You're only what other people see you to be. I thank you very much. I worked all my life, and I had a lot of studying. I had a lot of court action against me and my profession, and I won everything due to the public, like you were here today, supporting me. Only the cow and the mule and the hog and the dog knew what I was doing. The government didn't. I gave you about 5 veterinarians due to my work in that profession. Sent them all to the same vet school. Had a lot of help from community to do it. And I thank you. And I want to thank, like again, all of you that made my life possible and fulfilled today, starting with the Honorable Governor Henry McMaster. Thank you, Governor. Along with our Honorable Senator Mike Farron. Dr. Jimmy Knox. And Christy Cox, you'll all have been great to me. And Libby Gaston, thank you for putting on this for me today in my honor. This is the first time I've ever been honored in my life in all my 22 years of political correction. I mean, political career. But I thank you very much. Now, Barry Honeycutt, where is Barry?
I'm right here.
Barry, I'm going to let Barry finish a little bit of stuff I was going to say to you, but I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being president today and for all you did for me over the years. I'm 95, and I'll still be around here warning you when I'm 105. Thank you. Thank you very much, Barry.
Can I grab the microphone from you? Thank you.
I won't be as eloquent as Kerwood, but I will continue with his words, not mine.
Sorry.
I would like to recognize all of you here today, including Congressman Ralph Norman, for sharing this occasion with me and for being a part of my lifelong journey. It means a great deal to me to have my friends, associates, family take part in this, and I'm very honored to receive this award. It means more when you're recognized by those that you know and know best and that you love and respect. And I'm very grateful from the bottom of my heart, and I humbly thank you for such a great day. I really appreciate this award and recognition, but I've never thought of myself as anyone other than a person who helped his community and served the public as a private citizen or an elected official helping his constituents. My father always said, as he has said, that you're never who you think you are, but only what other people see you to be. So this means even more to me and is tremendous an amount to me to know that you think so much of me to award me this honor. I'm deeply humbled. And in summary, I did not attain this award by my acts alone, but with the support of many others. My late wife, Virgie, and I were married for 57 years. Virgie and our 4 children, Ann, James, Glenn, and Dr. John, as well as our grandchildren, Dr. Robert, Dwayne, Tiny, and Dora, played a major role in the veterinarian business. I'm grateful to have been part of assisting 5 other students in veterinarian school in addition to my son, Dr. John Chapel, and grandson, Dr. Robert Chapel. My late friend Claudette Chu, along with her family, Barry, Wanda, and Jordan Honeycutt, were of great assistance to me in the completion of my book, Stories of a Lifetime. The hard work from Claudette and her daughter Wanda is greatly appreciated. To my family, friends, and community, and those who voted for me and helped me establish all this in my life and to enable me to serve in an elected capacity, I say thank you again. We thank you, Kerwood.
Thank you, and as we get ready to wrap up, Governor, I'm glad you're here, because the hard part, Governor, was when I talked with half the folks in this room that I represent, they said, Kerwood Chapel is York County. And then, Governor, I met with the other half of the people in this room that I represent, and they said, Kerwood Chapel is Chester County. And so we appreciate you being here reminding us he is South Carolina, and we appreciate you doing that for us. But I hope you can tell we've tried to be as fair and balanced as we can possibly be here today representing both counties. And we appreciate all of you that have had input in making this day possible. We want to recognize the chairwoman of York County Council, who has followed in footsteps and made them her own. Put your hands together for our councilwoman in York County, Councilwoman Christy Cox.
Those are hard shoes to follow. It is an absolute privilege for me to be here with you today. But I also want to say it's hard for me because I dearly love and adore this man. Amen. That we are celebrating. So it's hard for me. I get emotional. And my husband Michael's here today, and he'll attest that when I get emotional, which is rare, it's ugly. Nobody wants to see that. So please forgive me. I'm going to make sure I follow my notes because there are some things that are important to me to say about this man that I love. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Christy Cox. Some folks call me the successor to Kerwood Chapel, but everybody in this room knows nobody can fill those shoes. I do want to say thank you to Governor McMaster for recognizing the achievements of Dr. Chapel. To me, there is nobody on this earth that is more deserving of this award than Kerwood Chapel. I describe Dr. Chapel as a true patriot. He loves our country. He loves our freedom. He's a living example of the American dream. He inspires us all to work hard, to stand up for what's right, to fight for the defenseless, and to always live by the golden rule. Anyone who's lived in York County knows Dr. Chapel, a self-made man who created a successful business and became an iconic statesman. Amen. His work ethic is unmatched, and after 95 years, his accomplishments are many. Whether you know him as a local school bus driver, farmer, businessman, landowner, veterinarian, pilot, legendary statesman, or a trusted neighbor and friend, he is unapologetically authentic. Amen. Always humble, never catering to the privileged or the powerful. He uses his position and his talents to help those most in need. And when it comes to standing up for his people, I'm just going to tell you, he can bring more fire and brimstone than any Southern Baptist preacher I've ever seen. As a York County native myself, I have personally known Dr. Chapel all my life. For those of you who don't know, one of my cousins, I actually have 29 first cousins just on my mama's side. One of them was named after Dr. Chapel. But another fun fact you may not know about Dr. Chapel is that he has a photographic memory. And so while I have a hard time keeping track of my three kids' names, Dr. Chapel will literally go up to just about anybody you know, and they'll tell you your name, your daddy's name, your granddaddy's name, where you live, what they do, what they did in this county. And you know what that symbolizes? That symbolizes a man who knows his people and loves his people.
Amen.
Although I knew him mostly by reputation through my family, it wasn't until I needed him when he served on council that I got an opportunity to see firsthand what this man is truly all about. I'll never forget the first time I met him. His psychic, Reagan Craig, invited me to the clinic on Chapel Road to meet Dr. Chapel in my notebook. I thought I was there to air my grievances. Little did I know that my life was changing that day. Like many others before me, Dr. Chapel helped me when nobody else would. And he did it with passion, and he did it with conviction. He stood up for what was right and fought to protect our community. During his time on council, he worked to keep our waterways free from sewage contamination. Just ask Reagan and the Fishing Creek group about what happened. I think there's even a picture of my grandmama on a float when they used to do these parades talking about what happened those days. Please ask those questions. It's fun. He protected our lands from hazardous waste, and I'm so glad to see Melvin McCullough here today. And I hate that Hazel Reed can't be here because I got to know those gentlemen very well in the fight against Thermal Chem and how they protected our community.
Amen.
He also helped to keep out-of-state waste from our county, and that's where he came in to help us. One thing about Kerwood is that his help is unwavering. When he's there to fight for you, he doesn't give up, because these fights that we've had to do are up against powerful people with lots of money that take decades to fight.
Yes.
Despite Dr. Chapel's legacy in his own right, he is more than his achievements. He has inspired many of us to be better, to do better. He personally inspired me in my community in ways I never expected. As a mother of three young children and a wife, starting a new business, first-time lawyer, I had no idea about serving on this council. But when I saw just how critical it is to have folks like Kerwood Chapel representing people on the local level, loving their people and fighting for them, I knew that when he decided it was time to stop, that I had to step up. So with his encouragement and blessing, I did that. I've been serving for 10 years. I'm the first female chairman of the York County Council.
Hey, hey.
And Kerwood calls me and we still talk. He tells me how proud he is of me. I'm 50 years old. He still calls me his little girl. During my 10 years on council, I've grown an even greater appreciation for just the commitment that he's put into our community. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard. Just about everybody I meet in the job that I do on council has a story, not only knows Dr. Chapel, but has a personal story to share about how he impacted their lives. Whether it was a veterinarian help, which he usually did without even charging, whether it's helping with a council issue, or did you know that Dr. Chapel actually used his personal tractor to go out and grade roads, dig ditches, and pick up carcasses off the road? He even put them in his car when government was too slow to respond. That's how much he cared about his people. In terms of character, the way I think about that is what someone does when nobody's looking. When the cameras are off, when nobody's looking, Dr. Chapel is serving his people. And I'll end with this. One of the most admirable qualities I have of Dr. Chapel is his way of just speaking straight from the heart. Never minces words. You never have to wonder where this man stands. So I developed this list of Kerwoodisms, famous quotes that Kerwood puts together. You've heard one of them, and there are many. There are some that are better that I won't say. But I do want to read some of them, and I need to put my glasses on. Always love your fellow man where you don't have to kiss behinds or apologize.
Amen.
Government should not do for free people what free people can do for themselves if they value their freedom. I did not get here to represent government. Government has too much help already.
Amen.
No man is ever what he thinks he is. He is only what others see him to be. I think we've heard that one.
Yes.
Nothing makes a failure but a try, and this is my personal favorite. I do not serve to represent I, me, or mine. I am here to represent you, them, and they. And you had to use the fingers when you did that. We need more Kerwood chapels in this world.
Amen.
And at a minimum, we need to recognize them for the unique public servants they are. Thank you, Dr. Chapel, for letting me be a part of this.
One more before we close. A year ago, a humble guy that never talks much, named Dr. Jim Knox. He never talks much. He's a very humble person came to me about a year ago and started talking about how we need to correct a wrong. We need to celebrate a life. No one, as y'all know, celebrates the history of our area more than Dr. Jim Knox. He is my mentor. He is my friend. He has shepherded us through this process. Dr. Knox, can I introduce Wanda real quick before I do you? Wanda, will you please stand? Wanda Thompson from my office. Y'all will give her a round of applause. She's the one that actually did the legwork behind getting this to you. But I want to introduce you to the man behind all of the history that we have in this region, our conscience of this part of Chester and York counties. Please put your hands together for our principal of all time, Lewisville High School's forever principal, Dr. Jim Knox.
Mike, I'm not planning to pay you for that. Well, thank you for being here today. This project started about a year ago, and I figured I had to find a legislator that would do what I wanted done. And I chose Mike because I had known him for about 20 years from my work in education. I also knew that he liked Mary's Restaurant in Rock Hill, which I like. So I invited him to join me for lunch. And after we talked for about an hour about education, I finally got to the point of what I wanted. I would like to see Kerwood Chapel receive the South Carolina Order of the Palmetto.
Amen.
Well, the senator said, well, we'll look at that. You need to get back with me later in the year. Well, later in the year, I contacted him somewhere in December, and I said, well, I know the legislature's coming into session. Can we get started? Well, we'll see. We'll see. Well, I contacted him in mid-January, and I said, I'm ready to see this show start. And we've had great help. Mike provided the help. But I also need to say that Ann Chapel Helms
yes.
has been a major help to me and to those folks who worked on putting together this application for the governor. So, Ann, thank you first. Secondly, Mike's staff. He's just mentioned Mrs. Thompson, who's here, but also another member of the staff, a young man named Blake Melton. He was of tremendous amount of help because he did a bunch of the work. And he's not here. He's in law school. But he played a major part in getting this together. This young woman I do not know. I did not know until Ann told me to call her to ask her to write a letter of recommendation to go with the application. She immediately agreed to do it. Thank you, Christy, so very much for all you did. And then Mike and I had a plan. We were going to have this celebration in Columbia at the governor's office. Well, Ann told me Kerwood will not go to Columbia. Now, I proposed and suggested the governor's office because it would take care of Chester and York County in a beautiful, neutral site. Kerwood will not go. Okay. Where will Kerwood go? He wants to go to the front porch. It's one of his favorite places. Well, you know, to be honest now, and honesty comes in. I actually wanted it in Chester County all along. Now, a couple of other quick things. Chester County has, to the best of my knowledge in putting this, in trying to figure this out the last day or so, Chester County has only a few recipients of the Order of the Palmetto. York County has a whole bunch of them, but Chester County has only a few. And I'm going to call their names because Chester County is my home county. County Supervisor J.B. McDowell, one of the first recipient to the best of my knowledge. And then we have the following ones: Dr. Malcolm Marion. Then we have Senator Linda Short. And we have Judge Paul Short, her husband. And we have Dr. H.P. Sneed from Great Falls and Representative Greg Delaney. Kerwood makes the seventh one from the Chester County piece of the puzzle. Now, a couple of other quick things. This is very personal. And I've told this about Kerwood on many occasions, and I remind him of it. But I want, before I tell you this, Kerwood calls me professor. He's the only person that calls me professor. But that's what he normally calls me. But when I was a little boy, and I mean a little boy, Kerwood came to take care of a cow. And Kerwood was doing something in a dairy barn with a cow. And my father had an old, upright hot water heater open. Obviously, he was trying to fix it. It didn't work or whatever it was. I picked up a piece of metal and I stuck it in the hot water heater. And it absolutely shocked the devil out of me. Kerwood said in a very clear voice to me, "I did not know the Knoxes were so damn dumb." That is a true story. I've tried to tell him over the years, although he tried to label me, that I have finished college. I did finish graduate school. I did finish seminary, and I did get a doctor's degree. But I still recall those words. I think they were truly words not of put down, but of challenge. I really do believe they were words of challenge. And one other very quick personal story, and then I have a few things I want to say about Kerwood. Kerwood told my father on one occasion that the dairy cows needed to stay out of the pond. The cows were having something called, I think, mastitis was what it was, an infection of their udders. And Kerwood was doctoring on the cows for whatever it was and told my daddy they need to stay out of the pond. Well, my daddy took that seriously. I think his taking it seriously was stupid, to use a previous word. My daddy took some dynamite and went over and blew up the dam on the pond, and the pond completely drained out and was gone. Now, that kept the cows out of the pond, but about 20 years later, Kerwood, it cost me lots of money to have that pond rebuilt. Now, a few things about this most honorable man. I have enjoyed him every time I've seen him. I have learned from him every time I have been in his presence. I have appreciated all of the things that he has done for my family and for all of the other thousands and thousands of people scattered around these counties that Kerwood Chapel has helped and helped and helped. When I read the story from a lifetime, and I would encourage you, if you haven't read it, you need to read it. It is a remarkable book. I told Senator Fanning when he was telling me about the application required all of this and this and that. I told him, just send the book.
He did.
Just send, I know you did.
He told me a bunch of times.
Just send the book. The book speaks for itself.
Amen.
And the people that played a major part in getting this book together need to be a shout out. Kerwood, yes, these are his stories. This is his life. This is his love. But the folks that helped get this book together was Claudette Shue. She played a major part in it. And her daughter, Wanda Honeycutt.
Amen.
And also her granddaughter played a major part, Jordan Honeycutt. Major part in putting together this fabulous story of life. Now, I used to believe at one point that Kerwood decided to leave Smith Turnhout School when he finished the eighth grade there, that he wanted to come to Chester County because the schools in Chester County were better.
Amen.
I used to believe that. Well, he came to Chester County, but he had to do his daddy had to go through a lawsuit to come. The Kerwood farm is in York County and some of it in Chester County. Mm-hmm. Kerwood wanted to come to a school called Oakley Hall High School. Now, Oakley Hall was a very good school. My daddy and his sisters all went to Oakley Hall, to high school. But I discovered something else that I think is true, Kerwood. I think somewhere you had discovered, had met, had seen, had been caught up in a young woman named Virgie Hefner. Because Virgie Hefner was at Oakley Hall High School when you got there. I believe that's true. Now, he went to Oakley Hall for a year. And then in 1945, he was at Oakley Hall for the school year 1944-1945. At that point here in Chester County, Oakley Hall, a high school in the Lewisville attendance area, Edgemore in the Lewisville attendance area, and Richburg in the Lewisville attendance area, the three schools consolidated into Lewisville High School in 1945. Kerwood then, of course, left Oakley Hall and went on to Lewisville High School. He did the school year of 1945-46. At Lewisville High School. Interesting to note, Virgie graduated from Lewisville High School in 1946, and she is remembered as a great basketball player.
Amen.
Kerwood finished Lewisville High School in 2 years, grades 10 and 11. We only had 11 grades at that point. Now, I thought originally he went there for an education. He and Virgie were married, had four wonderful children, and a great life together. But she also, we must recognize and remember that Mrs. Chappell, his beloved wife Virgie, she is part of his success story.
Amen.
She is a part of that success story. She was by his side, a support to him, an encouragement to him. And as he moved into veterinarian medicine, he was very much in want by the farmers in the community. Now, he was very much in want because of a couple of reasons. Number one, he charged less than Dr. McGill and Dr. Culpepper. He charged much less than they did. That was a plus. Secondly, he had someone who could answer the phone for him at home and then used the radio that he had put in place and the radio in his vehicle to call and tell him, you need to go to the Knox farm or the Gaston farm or the Ligon farm. And if he were in the area, he went. He got there faster than the other veterinarians in the county. And he also charged less. But also, I think, probably the biggest plus was he spent time with these farmers and gave them good, sound advice, lessons from his own father, Jack Chappell. Amen. Now, I would like to go through every one of these clips in this book, but you all would probably shoot me, and the governor's detail would take me to Bull Street, so I won't do that. But I would like to find one page, if I can find it again, but I put a clip on that I want to look at for just 1 minute, and we will end. Oh, where is it? Here. Now, that's the wrong page. I can't find it. I remember most of it in it. Yes, here it is. He has a page in here about people who influenced his life. And I think that page is important. Important because when you and I look at our lives, and as we get older and we can't sleep well at night and we start reflecting upon our lives and the things that we're proud of and our children and our successes and our failures and the people who played a major part in our lives, this is what he's doing on this page. The first name he lists here on this page is Mr. Porter Gaston. J. Porter Gaston. Agriculture teacher at Oakley Hall. J. Porter Gaston is the grandfather of Dr. Neely Gaston. J. Porter Gaston is the father of Libby Gaston's husband, Joe Gaston. And I could go on and on with the Gastons. But J. Porter Gaston, a main influence in his life. The second person he listed in this list is a man by the name of Jody Hollis, J.G. Hollis. Jody Hollis was the superintendent of the Louisville schools. He then lists third a gentleman that's already been introduced, and I'd like for him to put his hand up because I'd like to know who he is, Mr. Buddy Motz. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. York County councilman, and who made a major impression upon him. Then he lists on the Chappell farm, he lists Mr. Bud Brown. Bud Brown was the foreman for his daddy on the farm. And then he lists Mrs. Harry Hicklin. Mrs. Harry Hicklin was an English teacher, probably taught you too. Over there, Randy, probably taught you too. He told me one time that he might not have gotten out of Louisville High School if it hadn't been for Miss Harry Hicklin. And then he lists Mr. Clyde Carter. Mr. Carter was the president of the Commercial Bank here in Chester. He lists also, and I'm not doing all of them, he lists also Mr. Bruce Bryant. Mr. Bryant, raise your hand. Thank you so much, Mr. Bryant. And he lists Mr. David Zimmerman. Mr. Zimmerman, I think, was here somewhere. Thank you. And there are many others that are on this list. But when you leave here today, I want to challenge you to one thing. Think about the people that have impacted your life and helped you go down the path of where you wanted to go and to obtain the goals that you have set for yourself. Kerwood has helped so many. They cannot be numbered. In closing, Kerwood, I thank you for your life of service to Chester County. And yes, As a graduate of Louisville High School, you are the only graduate of Louisville High School to receive the Order of the Palmetto. And Governor McMaster, I knew if you got to see this book, because you have 15 pictures in it. This was a done deal.
Amen.
Thank you.
Give Dr. Knox a round of applause. Will y'all help me wrap this up fun way for Kerwood? Will y'all do that?
Yep.
Sure.
Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Humpty Dumpty sat on a
wall.
Humpty Dumpty had a great
wall.
All the kings
horses.
And all the kings
man.
Couldn't put back together.
Again.
What does it mean?
Stay off the wall.
Good guess. Governor, you may not know this, but six Boston University professors spent 6 months studying that nursery rhyme to try to find out what it is. That's government at work right there. They spent 6 months. And guess what they found out it meant? Absolutely nothing. It's a cute thing we say to kids to make them do what?
Smile.
Folks, we're passing nonsense on generation to generation. And our kids don't know the history about who they are. They don't know whose they are. They don't know the power that God placed inside. Kerwood is the same power that God placed inside of every one of them. I ask you today, the reason I'm excited, number one, I get excited. But there's two things. Number one is, we are celebrating a living legend who is with us today. Please put your hands together. One other thing, I need your pledge. Let's pledge today to quit passing down nonsense generation to generation. Let's start telling the story. Let's tell the story of Kerwood Chapel. Let's tell the story so that when your little 12-year-old wants to be something when he grows up, and the world tells him no, you tell him the story about how Kerwood was a veterinarian at 13 years old illegally, had to go to the Supreme Court to be able to practice it. But you can laugh if you want to, but that's teaching our kids a story about perseverance. That's teaching them a story of a belief in what God has for them, is for them, and that God's power inside of us is bigger than any obstacle in front of us. Let's tell the story of Kerwood Chapel. Let's tell the story about how Kerwood didn't just give up, but then he gave back by growing other veterinarians throughout the state of South Carolina that have been descendants of veterinarians. Let's tell that story and tell the story how he became a statesman, not just in Chester County, but an entire political career in your county as a Republican when really the state was a Democratic state. He was a visionary Republican leading an effort in your county and being one of our leaders. Let's start telling the story, not just because of the legend that we have with us today living 95 years of our state's 248-year history. Let's tell the story because our kids need that more than they need the nursery rhymes you're telling them. So ladies and gentlemen, if you will, please pledge with me that we tell the story. Pledge with me that we continue the legacy. And if you would, as we conclude, oh, no, can I pray? Pastor, am I allowed to pray? No, bow with me real quick. Lord, we have food before us. I didn't ask the pastor to bless it. So I'm asking you, Lord, please bless the food. Bless each one of us that gathered here today. Please give us something in our hearts that we can carry forward. Help us share not only the love with Kerwood, but the love that Kerwood has with others. Help us tap into what you put inside of you to use it in a special way. Please bless this food to our bodies. In your name we pray. Lord, as I ask that each of you, please stand to your feet before we eat the refreshments in the back. And by the way, can we get the front porch round of applause for being here with us today? Please, if you will, stand to your feet and let's give one standing ovation for the man of the hour, the one that our governor drove all the way up from Columbia with the best first lady in the world to see. Put your hands together for Kerwood Chapel. Now the dramatic pause as you realize that it's over and that I have nothing else to say. We got food in the hallway. We've got fellowship. Please come and tell Kerwood how much you love him and fellowship with one another. Thank you.